Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Glad you're with us today as we continue in our series, The Grace Guide to Marriage. The guys have shared a lot of really great insights, and I hope you're really getting into this study. Basic Gospel, of course, offers an abundance of rich resources to aid you in your walk with Jesus Christ. But right now, it's time to get underway with today's edition of The Grace Guide to Marriage. And to do that, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. I wanted to take a few minutes at the top of the hour to kind of recap where we've been in this particular series. Marriage is such a huge relationship. It's the most profound relationship we humans can experience on this level, apart from our relationship with Christ Jesus. Right. And there's much about the gospel that's built into this marriage relationship. It really is a reflection of the gospel of Jesus Christ, his love for his church. And we read about that in Ephesians chapter 5, where over the last 3 or 4 weeks, we've talked about the roles of husbands and wives in this marriage relationship. And it's interesting that both the husband and the wife have an opportunity to play a role that Jesus played in his life.
Right.
There was the self-sacrificial love, him not counting equality with God something to be grasped, and he humbled himself, and he became obedient even to the point of death on the cross. And then it was at that time that God highly exalted him and put him in a place where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Well, when the husband loves the wife as Christ loved the church, there's this sacrificial love. And then we also see a submission of Jesus Christ to his heavenly Father. He came to carry out the will of his Father. And so we see that as far as wives being submissive to their husbands. And both of those roles, you are meeting the needs of one another. So we've talked about a husband wants to be respected in the relationship, and boy, the attitude of submission is the very thing that can tap into that that need to be respected.
Yeah.
And so you can trust the Lord. You can have his Spirit to give you creative ways so that you can love him in a way that shows respect. For the wife, her need is security. Her need is love. And so the husband, as he walks in submission to the Lord Jesus and trusts the Holy Spirit to work in him, he's going to find creative ways to make her feel secure within that relationship.
Right.
And to really touch that need, that marital need. So those are the two marital needs, respect and security. And the roles that we play within the marriage relationship that reflect some of the roles that Jesus Christ played in his earthly life are really going to help meet those marital needs. So that's what this marriage thing is all about. Is it truly is a reflection of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we saw the very first wedding. God officiated that wedding when he joined Adam and Eve together, and he laid out the framework for every marriage thereafter. And so we see it's a man and woman, one man, one woman, and it's to be eternal. And that's how God set it up. But when sin entered the world, then it became just until death do us part. So there's this idea that what God puts together, let no one tear apart.
Right.
And I loved talking about that in the marriage ceremony. It's so significant because this relationship that is being forged right there as the two say their vows, they're actually making a covenant one with another that we're going to stay with each other through thick and thin until death do us part. And so in this framework, we see the leaving. A man leaves his father and mother. A woman is given away by her mother and father. They cleave to one another. They join together. And that joining together is with Gorilla Glue. I mean, you're not going to pull it apart. It's a strong connection. And then the two become one. And in that becoming one, there's this serving of one another in love. And that's the roles of the husbands and wives and meeting those marital needs. Now, in Ephesians 5, Paul repeats that story. And he says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Now, this mystery is profound. And for many, marriage is a mystery. I think Paul was right on with those words. But he goes on to say, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. So as we talked about marriage, built into this marriage relationship is the story of the gospel.
Right.
It reflects out to the world what Christ or how Christ loves his church. So we have to realize that marriage has a greater purpose than just completing us as human beings and those sort of things. And let me say right here, marriage does not complete you as a human being. You are made complete in Christ Jesus. So if you're looking to marriage, you're out there saying, Lord, bring me the right person, bring that soulmate that will come along and will complete me, you're already missing the boat on marriage.
Yeah.
You find your completeness in Christ. And then as a whole person, as a person who is complete, you enter into that marriage relationship. And it's only then that you actually have something to give in serving your mate and meeting their marital need. So marriage isn't like the way our culture is defined. It's something that's going to make you happy. It has a much bigger purpose than that, and that's to reflect the very love of Christ for his church. So this mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. So that's just the summary. That's the recap of where we've been. Once we come back from this short break, we're going to ask a question that was submitted to us about marriage and a very specific marital issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I think many of you might relate to this. And when you hear what that question is, your ears may perk up and say, hey, I need some help for that problem as well. And that reminds me, if you have a question that you would like to submit as on marriage, on the topic of marriage, send it to me, Bob at BasicGospel.net. That's Bob at BasicGospel.net. We will address it on an upcoming Friday teaching edition of Basic Gospel.
Well, this is the Grace Guide to Marriage with Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher is here. We're missing Richard Pfeiffer today, but he'll be back soon. I'm Bob Davis. Glad you've joined us, everybody. Our purpose here at Basic Gospel is to get this good news out by every medium available. And friends, we hope that you want to take part in that and share in the blessing of being a part of that. So please join with us. Donate at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. Again, that number, 844-322-2742, or donate online at basicgospel.net. You folks in Canada can donate at basicgospel.net/Canada. All other countries, PayPal is the best way to support Basic Gospel. Remember, your gifts do make a difference. But right now, it's our weekly teaching edition on Basic Gospel. Let's get back to our study of the Grace Guide to Marriage. And again, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. So Susie wrote into us not too long ago, and she had this issue. She says, how do you deal with a husband that has an anger issue and has had it since 1979? That's a persistent problem.
Long-suffering.
And she goes on to say, he will never really listen to me. So how do you deal with that? How do you handle a situation like that? And this could be a wife that has a husband that has an anger issue. It could be a husband that has a wife who has an anger issue. How do you deal with anger in a marriage?
Yeah.
Well, I think the first point that we need to recognize is that we can't change each other. And a lot of times we really do ourselves a disservice when we make it our goal to change our mate. And so if he has an anger problem, I'm going to try to fix it. I'm going to try to make it better. Well, you've just put yourself in bondage to your husband, and you've put your husband in bondage to you, and that's not going to help the situation. So no matter how hard you try, you can't turn his anger into kindness and gentleness. You can't make that. That assignment is way too big for you. So the first thing, the first point, is entrusting this to the Lord. Now, Susie, I'm not sure if your husband is in Christ or not. If he's not in Christ, if he's not a believer in Jesus, then you continue to pray fervently for him that one day this gospel message will arrest his heart in such a way that it moves him to say with his mouth that Jesus is Lord and to believe in his heart that God truly raised him from the dead. If he doesn't know the Lord, he's dead spiritually. And before any transformation, before any real change, I mean real significant change can take place, life has to be given. So we've said time and time again, and I think I even have a chapter in my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, on this, first life, then change.
Change, right.
So a lot of times we're praying to God, oh, Lord, change him or change me. And he's saying, no, 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 I want you to have life. You're dead. Mm-hmm. And dead men can't change.
Yeah. Dead, that's right.
Spiritually dead women can't change. We need life. And once life has been given to us, once Christ has come in to take up residence in a person's life, then he's going to start the process of conforming that person into his very image.
Right.
So pray fervently for your husband, for his salvation. If he is a Christian, pray that God's Spirit will open his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to entrust this situation to the Lord himself. Jesus, when he was reviled against, he didn't take up arms and go back at him. He simply entrusted that situation to his heavenly Father, the one who judges justly. So that would be the first point that I would say to you, entrust this situation to the Lord. And Peter says, cast all your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you. The Lord knows what you're going through. You're not alone in this. And so cast that care upon him, you know, with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. Make your request known to God. That's entrusting the situation to him. The next point I want to make is this. When his anger flares, you take a time out. Don't try to engage him in conversation, or don't try to get him to listen to you if his anger is flaring up. Why? Because that anger is going to make him deaf to whatever you say.
Sure.
I mean, you can talk and talk and talk and talk, but he's angry. And that anger has closed those ears of his. So don't try to get him to listen at that point in time. So take a time out. Don't be afraid to turn and walk away. When that anger is just exploding all over the place, that's not a time to discuss weighty issues.
Right.
That's not a time to discuss the problems that you may have. So let the anger cool down before you engage in conversation. That's just wisdom, just common sense wisdom. The next point that I think is important for us to recognize is that anger is generally a sign of insecurity and fear. Okay? So anger is a manifestation of an inward fear, an inward insecurity. So anger is really the mask that fear puts on.
Yeah.
So there's not a man on the planet that wants to admit that he's fearful or he's insecure. That may come when we get more secure in our relationship with Christ, then we can become vulnerable, then we can actually open up about our fears, what makes us frightened, what we're afraid of, the anxieties and worries that we may have in life. But that really only happens as we start to grow in our trust and dependence upon the one who loves us and gave himself for us. So that anger that you have seen for almost 40 years in your husband is probably a sign of some insecurity or some fear that's found its way and rooted itself deep within the heart of your husband. So recognize that this isn't going to help you fix it, but it will help you understand that anger's just a secondary issue. There's something else that's really going on inside,
right.
And it will give you some sensitivities that you may not have had before. So anger is a sign of insecurity and fear. And as long as I have been working with men, and I've been teaching men's groups for a long, long time, we're all scared little puppies. I mean, that's just reality. It is tough out there in the world, but we don't want to show our weaknesses. We don't want to show that we worry. We don't want to show that we're afraid. We don't want to show that we're insecure. We want to put out that image that we've got it all together, that we're strong, that we're these strong leaders that know exactly where we're going and know exactly how we're going to get there. And I just haven't met that person. There's only one person, and his name was Jesus. He came into the world, and he knew exactly why he was here. He knew what his mission was, and he never strayed from that.
Yeah.
He was headed to Jerusalem to a cross on Calvary, and every step he took was a step in that direction. And so when he came to that cross and he was lifted up and he said, "It is finished," he had accomplished the very goal, the very thing that God sent him into this world to accomplish. So he's the only one that's known from the very get-go what he was here to do and how he was going to do it. We have to figure that out. And sometimes we're better at figuring it out than other times. But underneath that, there are all kinds of fears and insecurities.
Yeah.
Now, for men, like I said, in the context of marriage, our marital need is to be respected. Wives, we have to tell our wives we love them over and over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, you can't do it one time 6 months ago.
That's right. That's right. We have to keep confirming that. And that's important for us to do,
yeah,
because it does something in the heart of our wives. It's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. Now, for us, the I love yous are great, but we want to know that she respects us. That's what we need.
Yeah.
And if we have her respect, her support, if she's standing with me shoulder to shoulder, then it doesn't matter what the world does to me. I'm okay. I've got her, right there with me.
Yeah.
And that's a wonderful thing. Mm-hmm. So if we're not getting that respect, maybe we're not getting respect out there in the world. Maybe we're feeling a little insignificant. Maybe we're feeling small. Maybe we're comparing our achievements with somebody else and we're saying our life just isn't as good as it should be. I've said this time and time again, when I reached age 40, I went through some depression, not major, not big, but it's like, gosh, I should be much further along in my goals. You know, I should have this much money saved up in my retirement. I should, have this and I should have that. And when I got to 40, I wasn't where I thought I should be. And so I felt down. I was down about those things. But did I want to tell anybody that? Absolutely not. I didn't want to expose those insecurities, those fears, and that sort of thing. So we can start comparing ourselves with others, and we can look and say, hey, we're not where we should be. And that gets us down. And so to mask that, we can lash out in anger.
Yeah.
So that's just the way we are. So anger is usually a sign of insecurity and fear in a person's life.
Yeah. Well, it is the Grace Guide to Marriage, a series that's very rich and insightful, a subject so many couples struggle with. And friends, if you take to heart what you're hearing through this series, through this study, it's going to help tremendously to foster unity and understanding in your marriage and in your home. So if you'd like a review of the previous sessions, you'll find the archive at basicgospel.net/teaching. And we hope you'll tell your family and friends how they too can hear this excellent series, The Grace Guide to Marriage. Again, you'll find it at basicgospel.net/teaching. Well, let's wrap her up.
Well, let's do wrap her up. Now, the last thing I want to say about, anger in men and husbands, we are masterful at playing the blame game.
Yeah.
So if we have an underlying fear, an insecurity, instead of owning up to that, instead of taking full responsibility on our shoulders, we take a page out of Adam's playbook, and we say, it's that woman that you gave me. She gave me that fruit, and I ate. It's her fault. If she hadn't have done what she did, then I would still be A-okay. So a lot of men like to play the blame game, and we put all the blame on the shoulders of our mates, our spouses. Now, we do that as a form of manipulation. Then we can control them. If they buy into it, if they believe that they're at fault, and that's what we try to do in the blame game, is try to shift the blame from our shoulders to her shoulders. And if they buy into it, then we have them in a position where we can control and try to generate the outcome or the result that we want to.
Sure.
So that's no good for either party. I mean, that's just a recipe for disaster. So, Susie, I want to tell you, be aware of the blame game, and don't fall prey to that.
Yeah.
Don't let the accuser use the words of your husband to solidify in your thinking that you're at fault. And there's so many wives out there that will take upon their shoulders and say, it's my fault that my husband is angry. No, it's not. It is not. It is his choice. So don't put that on your shoulders. And if you do, that's going to be, if you don't take that on your shoulders, then that's going to be to your personal health and well-being.
Advantage.
If you take it on your shoulders, it's going to be a detriment to your health and well-being. So be aware of the blame game. So none of this really fixes the problem, so to speak. It just simply equips you to maybe handle it a little better moving forward.
Yeah.
And if you understand that there's some fears and insecurities going on underneath the surface as far as your husband is concerned, then you can start asking the Lord to give you some creative ways to talk about those issues, not when he's angry, but just at other times, and just see where the Lord takes that.
Yeah.
So, Susie, thank you so much for writing to us. We certainly hope this has been helpful to you.
Absolutely. It's just a rich, rich study that you and Richard have put together, Bob, and we hope that our listeners will take advantage of it. And friends, we're glad that you've joined us for this edition of Basic Gospel, The Grace Guide to Marriage, is the Friday teaching series we're working through. And please remember also that we need your help to keep this new covenant message on the air and to spread the good news of the love, grace, and life of the Lord Jesus Christ to new listeners wherever they may be. Again, the number is 844-322-2742, or donate online at basicgospel.net. Again, in Canada, basicgospel.net/Canada will take you to the appropriate place. Outside the United States and Canada, you can donate with PayPal. We hope you'll share in the blessing of partnering with us here at Basic Gospel. And remember, if you have a question today or over the weekend about marriage or some other subject for that matter, drop an email to bob@basicgospel.net or phone your question to 844-322-2742. We love hearing from you, our listeners, here at Basic Gospel, and either way is a great way to get your question to us and have it answered here at Basic Gospel. Once again, bob@basicgospel.net is the email address, or by phone at 844-322-2742. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, and I hope you'll be with us again on Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.